I have a degree in theology. It was never going to be my plan in life to get a degree, but I got a degree. It took me a little bit longer than some other people for a number of different reasons. So I did it part-time through UNISA, and while I was doing that, I was working in a church, and I was also working for Scripture Union, and then I got married, so I was married. It also took me a little bit longer because I also failed two subjects on my journey to get my degree. The one subject, I'll have to be very honest, I just wasn't prepared. But the other subject, still today I can remember exactly how things went down. I'd studied hard, I was ready for the exam. I left early, we were staying in Kempton Park, I had to get to an exam venue that was notorious for a lot of traffic, so I left early in order to get to the venue on time. I arrived early, sat in my car in the parking lot, and I thought, I've got some time, I've worked out my mind maps, went over everything one more time. I was good to go. It was time to go into the venue. I walked into the venue, and it was a big hall, and many different subjects were being written in that hall on that day. And so they would have a board in the foyer with all of the subjects listed and where you had to sit if you were writing a particular subject. And so I scanned the board for my course code. Got to the very end, and there was no code. I scanned it a second and a third time. There was something that looked vaguely familiar, so I thought, well, maybe I just got the code wrong. I'll go and check. So I went back to my car, got my book, checked the code. No, I had the code right. My code was just not on that board. And then I looked a little bit further and I found that my exam had been written the day before. Oh, you believe it. Oh, no. I had to rewrite that subject because I missed it by one day. I was discouraged. Being discouraged is part of life. Sometimes we are discouraged when you do the right thing, but you get the results that you're not expecting. You work hard, but you don't make the progress. You show up to practice every single day, giving it your all, but you lose the match. You try as hard as possible to not eat that extra stuff, but still those kilograms will not go away. You study hard, and then go to the exam venue one day late. Discouragement can be real tough. It often makes us want to quit, sometimes makes us say things we don't normally say, or some things that we shouldn't say. Sometimes we shake our fist at God. Sometimes we put God into the firing line because of our discouragement. This is how Jeremiah felt. We've been going through Jeremiah over the last couple of weeks, and today we're going to pick up some scripture a little bit further along in the book of Jeremiah, and just see how he dealt with the discouragement that he found. So we're reading in Jeremiah 21 through 13, two distinct sections here. The first section is Jeremiah and Pusher, and then the second section, Jeremiah's complaint. So you'll hear they sound very different, and I'll tell you when we get into his complaint so you can kind of see the shift in this bit of text. Let's read Jeremiah 21 through 13. When the priest Pusher, son of Immer, the chief officer in the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pusher released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord's name for you is not Pusher, but Magor Misbid." And just want to tell you what that means real quickly. Terror on every side. Your new name is going to be Terror. For this is what the Lord says, "I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes you will see them fall by the sword and their enemies. I will hand all Judah over to the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will hand over to the enemies all the wealth of the city, all its products, all its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pusher, and all who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies." So Jeremiah's in jail. He's out of jail. Now this is Jeremiah's complaint. "O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me in insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the hearts and minds, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Jeremiah is discouraged. He's doing the thing that God called him to do, yet he is being beaten, thrown in jail, tied in stocks overnight, uncomfortable, and he cries out to God in this place. Pusher is really angry, and he takes his anger out on the prophet Jeremiah. That didn't turn out how he'd hoped it would. He is now terror on every side. But just a sidebar real quickly. Sometimes when God calls us, don't expect it to be a bed of roses. We think the modern church has got this weird idea that it used to happen like this, and now God has somehow changed, and it might not happen like this. God calls us, and often it is exactly where he wants us, and everything goes well. But he might call us to a place where it's not a bed of roses. We have to be honest about the world we live in and maybe the call God places upon our lives. So there, old Jeremiah is not happy. He's getting the brunt of it. But how did he rise above his discouragement? How did Jeremiah rise above his discouragement? And then how do we rise above our discouragement? See, I simply didn't ask a question, are you discouraged? Because I know that we all have times when we're discouraged. So how do we deal with those things in our lives? This complaint that Jeremiah brings to God is his last lament. It's the last time we hear him bringing his emotions to God. And he's talking about grief and joy, despair, delight, confusion, praise. All in that one bit, you can see his emotions all over the place. Jeremiah reminds us that even a faithful servant of God can become discouraged. But he rises above his discouragement, and we can as well. Couple of things. The first thing is, be honest with God. Tell God how you feel. This is what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 20. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. He was honest with God. He was honest. He felt deceived by God. He felt offended. He says all of that. But what does he do? He goes to God and says, I feel that you've let me down. I feel that it hasn't gone well for me. He was crying out for the people to repent, yet they didn't want to have anything to do with his message. In fact, he lands up in prison, in stocks, beaten. He does take his discouragement to God. He takes it to God in private, but he takes it to God. And God wants us to talk to him. He doesn't want us to just talk to him when we're on the high, on the mountaintop. He wants us to talk to him when we're in the low places as well. And he wants us to be honest with him. Jeremiah was honest. There's a book that's written about laments. It's got that title, Lamentations, and many of the Psalms have got laments in them, where people are honest with God with where they find themselves in their journey. And often they feel as though God has left them. They feel discouraged. They feel that it's hard. So as we go to God, the question we might ask, is it wrong to be angry with God? Don't be angry with God, folk. Well, anger is an emotion. It's not a good or a bad emotion. We've labeled it such. It's an emotion. Remember, we're reminded that in your anger, do not sin. It's okay to be angry. It's what do we do with it? And going to God with how we're feeling about God might have treated us, that's not a bad thing. It's okay to be honest with God. Jeremiah was the author of Lamentations. Many people in Psalms were very honest with God. Jesus poured out his heart to God the Father when he was on the cross. He said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt like God had left him. He was in a discouraging place at that time. And we can do the same thing. Take your struggles and disappointments to God in prayer. Tell God what is in your heart, even the unhappy feelings. Hear what the psalmist says in his lament. Psalm 44. But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep, and have scattered us among the nations. You sold your people for a pittance, getting nothing for their sale. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and derision of those around us. You have made us a byword amongst the nations. The peoples shake their heads at us. I live in disgrace all day long, and my face is covered with shame. At the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy, who is bent on revenge. Awake, Lord. Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. And then in the book of Lamentations, Lamentations 5, why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long? I really believe we need to be honest with God. There are times when it's really necessary. We should go to God as we are and not go to God how we think He wants us to be or look or behave. Go with an honest heart. God does know the depths of our hearts, the depths of our feelings, the depths of our thoughts, our motives, our emotions. But we need to speak to Him about them. So we need to be honest with God. We also need to be obedient to God. Obedient to the call on our lives. We need to keep doing what He has called us to do. Jeremiah 20. But if you say, I will not mention His word or speak any more in His name, His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Jeremiah is so overcome by the power of the message that he has to give. He will not stop. He is acting in the place and in the power of Almighty God. And he knows it. I mean, the imagery here is so beautiful. There's this fire burning in his heart with this message. It's in his bones. He can't keep it in. Even though it was tough, he said, I can't keep it in. Do you know why Christians stay on the task that they are called to? Do you know why they do that? It's because of the call that God has on their lives. And you know, I believe everybody is called. There's a place in our lives where God says, follow me. That is a call from darkness to light, a call to repent of sin and follow Almighty God. It's a call that everybody who claims Christ as their Lord and Savior, everybody who's responded has got that call in their lives. When we respond, when we take that step, we step into His call. And then as we walk in Him, He might call us again to specific ministries. He might say to us, yes, but now, this is what I want you to do. He calls us to different places. Sometimes we know it so well. When you know you should work with children, that's God calling you to work with children. When you know you should teach, serve, or lead, that's God calling you into those places. When we acknowledge that call on our lives, we can serve a lifetime in that place. When we know that God is calling us to a place, we don't give up. Until He calls us to a new place, maybe, or a new ministry, or a new area of service. We need to be open to the call of God in our lives. When we serve, we need to respond when He calls. So if you're not sure if God's called you, there's a number of quick thoughts here. You can ask another mature Christian who's a part of your life if they sense or see the call in your life. And often other people can see it more clearly than you. You might go, I think God's calling me to this. And they'll go, yeah, I've seen that for a whole long time. Trust somebody to speak into your life. You can ask others in church to pray about the call you're sensing. Say to some people, hey, I think this is what God wants me to do. Let me know. You can find out what your spiritual gifts are. What has God given you uniquely? Every one of us have got gifts that he gives to us. And possibly those will lead us to understand more fully what God wants us to do, what his call is on our life. Not always, but often that's how it works. We could often find out more about the thing that we believe God is calling us into. And as we get more knowledge about it, we might go, oh, I understand. That's where God's calling me. Or maybe you could focus your quiet time on discovering the call God has on your life. Or maybe you could go to Right Now Media and look up God's call, and you might find something like this, teaching a call from God, and it's a really good teaching on discovering God's call for your life. If you don't have Right Now Media, and you are a member of this church, then you can get it on your phone or on any as many devices as you like. They've got 20,000, 60,000, how many bits of teaching? Okay, lots of thousands of different studies, and you just have to speak to Claire. She's on the sound desk this morning, and she will help you get connected. When you're called, obey. Obedience could be difficult or painful, but disobedience could be worse. Jeremiah was honest with God, and he obeyed God's call in his life. He was also aware. He knew that God was with him. He says this in Jeremiah 20 verse 11, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. He knew he was not alone. He still went through that suffering. He still went into jail. He was still beaten and tortured, but he knew God was with him as a mighty warrior. It's often the discouragement that we look at the most. We don't look at Almighty God, we don't look up, we look in. And then that discouragement starts to eat us. We focus on it. We need to focus more on God and less on what we are facing. We need to look upwards. He chose us and adopted us. He is with us. He accompanies us. He is a present tense God. Imagine the difference it would make if you walked into every moment in your life going, Almighty God is right here with me now. Just that awareness for yourself, knowing that God is with you. Imagine going into a difficult meeting knowing that God is right here with you. He's sitting next to me as I talk to these people. He is with me. Picture entering a stressful presentation knowing that God walks with you. What would it be like confronting the status quo knowing that the mighty arm of God surrounds you? You know, knowing that God is with us can help us accomplish some incredible things in our lives. It can help us overcome that discouragement that we feel. God with us gives us courage, guts, grit, strength, perseverance. Living with God will help you live in a better place, despite the discouragement. So Jeremiah is honest with God. He's obedient to God. He's aware that God is with us. And then, surprisingly, in the end bit of that scripture that I read, he worshipped God. Jeremiah 20:13. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. He feels this despair, this discouragement. He's beaten and he's tortured. He's fighting with God. He's bringing his feelings honestly to God. And then what is he doing? He's worshiping. He's not worshiping God for the situation that he finds himself in, but he's worshiping God despite the situation he finds himself in. He's singing to God because of God as his mighty, mighty Father. He's not singing to God saying, oh, thank you so much for what I'm going through. Really appreciate this. But he's singing to God saying, you are mighty and awesome, and I worship you in this place. I don't know if you remember Paul and Silas when they're in jail. Yeah, they're in jail. They could have been doing a lot of things, but this is what we read in Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. That word hymns there, don't get too excited, hymn lovers. Those only came around in the mid-1800s, so what they were singing was not those hymns. You know, don't bring the scripture out and say, hey, Brian, we want more hymns on a Sunday. Hey, come on, my boy. You see, it's in the scriptures. But they're singing hymns and praising God and praying to him in jail. Then what happens? They're not moaning, hey? They're not complaining. They're not moping. What happens? Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. They set free as they worshiping God in this difficult place. They set free. And then the jailer is like, hey, he's not like, hey, here's my spear, get back in. He's like, whoa, something amazing's happened here. What do I need to do to be saved? They share the good news of Lord Jesus Christ with him. The jailer accepts that. He's baptized. And then he invites these ex-prisoners across to his house for a meal. What an awesome story. As we worship God, as we sing praises to God in those difficult places. Peter tells us this about praise in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We often focus on that. But then he says that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are these things so that you can declare his praises. Because of who Christ Jesus is. We declare his praises because he has taken us from darkness to light. He's taken us from captivity to freedom. We declare his praises. No matter what is happening, that difficult thing, yes, that's difficult and deal with it, but look to him. Praise him in those situations and those times. Praise him because he's Almighty God. So just before you go to the next slide, just hold off on that slide. What's the next slide? Woo. So there was a time when I was flying out of the airport in Durban, and when I got to the airport, it was raining, it was dark, it was miserable, and I remember thinking to myself, are we actually going to fly? The weather was so bad. Well, they kept processing us, kept herding us, and I got into my seat, and then they closed the doors, and we took off. And for a while, we were in this very, very bad weather, dark clouds, praying more than I've ever prayed before. And then suddenly, we just came through the top of the clouds, and there was the sun. And then I took this photograph out the window as we were flying. You know, Almighty God is always there. We might be below the clouds. We might not know that he is there because we don't feel it, but he is there. And we just, as we come above that discouragement, above those challenges, we come into the light. Jesus is the light of the world. We know this. And so he's always there, he's always shining. Just above the clouds, it's this beautiful. It was late in the afternoon, so the sun was starting to go down. Know that wherever you find yourself, you might be in that place at the moment, or you might find yourself in that place. Know that God is with you. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always there. Sometimes we are below the clouds, but know that he's just above them. So we can do all of these things. We can be obedient to him. We can know that he's there. We can worship him because he's just here, right there, right with us. So be honest. Tell God how you are feeling. Be obedient. Keep doing what you've been called to do. Be aware. Know that God is with you, and then be worshipful. Praise God. Let's pray.